Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends over in Troop County up in LaGrange. I understand y'all here too and be jamming with us here with Davis Broadcasting as well as listening to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I saw a friend of mine from over in Seal, Alabama, said, Teddy, I listen to you every Sunday. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you for your feedback on the show, and especially my friends over in Taylor and Talbot County. How about Dorothy Bass over there? Dorothy Humphreys Bass over there in Taylor County. How you doing, my friend? I hope you're listening as well. This, of course, we're still in Black History Month. This is the month in which we pause to recognize and bring to the forefront the contributions of African Americans to this country. Now, Black history is a lot of history. And you know, as a friend of mine said recently, Michael Soul said it didn't start with slavery. So we have to certainly be aware of that. Black history is also local. And so there's some local Black history I'm excited to talk about today. And, you know, and of course, Black history is not just February. There's always times that we can talk about the contributions of African-Americans to this culture, to our country. However, February is the designated period in which everyone pauses to make sure that we recognize the contributions. Would have been nice if our president would have said something about Black History Month in his State of the Union, but of course he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, the two Black people he did recognize just happened to be folks that he helped get out of jail. So I don't know if a lot of folks look at symbolism the way I do, but to me, that was shameful that, you know, the only two Black people he could recognize in Black History Month or ones that were getting out of jail. But at any rate, we're going to move forward because we don't need the president's permission to be great. We don't need his permission and to be awesome people. We don't need his permission to celebrate our culture. And we certainly don't need his permission to be proud of where we have come from as a people. I'm excited about today's show. I tell you, when I first moved here to Columbus, Wayne Hales gathered a group of young professionals at a seafood restaurant here in town. And for the first time, I got to meet this amazing guy. And every time I've had an opportunity to speak with him, it's always a history lesson. And I said, you know, my friend, I got to get you on the show because we need to talk about some local Columbus history here that you're sharing with me that I think all of my listeners would be beneficial. It would be beneficial for all of my listeners to hear about. And so I am excited to have on the show today certainly a guy that I look at as a mentor for me, someone that has given me much advice and guided me in so many different ways that I'm extremely appreciative. And that's none other than Mr. Runzel Buckner. How you doing today, Mr. Buckner?
I'm fantastic. And you?
I am great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here today. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about local Black history here in Columbus as we celebrate Black History Month. Of course, you have a lot going on here in the city, you and a committee of people. But of course, you know, you've been a big driving force behind this, helped designate a Martin Luther King walking trail here in the city.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that trail and the vision behind it.
Well, you know, I lived in Columbus basically just about all of my life, excepting for 4 years. I moved in to Macon, Georgia, and came back after my mother took ill to help my sister and my brothers to take care of my mother. And when I came back and traveling throughout the United States, I always noticed that there was something different about Columbus versus other cities. Columbus, Georgia designated a 2.2-mile stretch of highway for Dr. Martin Luther King to honor his sacrifice. And when I came back, I thought it was a disgrace, really, because of the fact that Dr. King gave his life for the right for people to vote, for
Absolutely.
People to do the things that they want to do, and to be basically considered a person instead of just a half of a person.
Right.
So what I did was basically put together the vision of getting Dr. King's name in a area that he could be seen, and that people would know that we basically respect the sacrifice that he made. The Martin Luther King Boulevard was basically a 2.2-mile stretch of highway leading to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't live in South Columbus or worked in South Columbus or visit South Columbus on a regular basis, you never know that we had a Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Because in most cities, their Martin Luther King Boulevard or street or road is somewhere near a major thoroughfare.
Exactly.
A major intersection. You are going to see it.
Exactly.
You're not just going to happen across it. It's going to be right there in your face.
Right, right. And we didn't have that here. We were just given a stretch of highway as a, I felt, as a token. So what I did, I put the efforts to get a resolution passed to give me the permission to name, to get the city to name Rigdon Road, Ildis Road, Martin Luther King Boulevard, across 10th Avenue where it used to stop, all the way down to the river. So 10th Street is really named in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King as Dr. Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Trail,
mm-hmm.
which really runs from Macon Road down to the river. Now, you have a sign already out, which is the beginning of the trail, but there's a little significance to that. Both gateways are going to be basically the same. So there's no end and there's no beginning to it.
Okay.
And now you can see Dr. King's name out on Macon Road.
Right.
And we are in the process now of trying to get the signs changed to a tourist sign, which would be brown instead of blue.
Okay.
And that corridor that is basically put together to connect East Columbus to West Columbus. So when you come from the east side of Georgia, like Macon, Fort Valley, any of those cities there, you will come up to the Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Trail on Highway 80, which is Macon Road.
You know, considering his significant impact on society, on the world, it seems like that would... It would be a no-brainer as far as, you know, getting the historical signs and the historical designation, the brown signs that you were talking about. Where are you in that process? And is there anything that we can do to assist with that?
Well, today I talked to Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically supposed to be sitting down with them in the near future to see about getting Midtown to get involved with this now so that they can basically furnish the signs and get Dr. King's name out on Macon Road,
mm-hmm.
not Macon Road, on the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you exit off of Macon Road, it will have directions directly to the Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Cell sign on brown signs, mm-hmm. on the highway. And we hopefully to get the signs farther up on Macon Road and farther south on, not Macon, farther north on I-185 and farther south on I-185 coming north so that people will be aware of it before they even get to Macon Road so that they'll know that to take off. Now, at the entrance of each gateway, what we're working on is trying to get monuments of Dr. King on about a 6-foot pillar.
Mm-hmm.
And that pillar would be made out of a steel that will not rust, but it'll tarnish. And it will have a buff for Dr. King on top of it.
Wow.
On both ends of it.
Wow.
So that way when you run up on it, you know that you'll be going up on something very special.
Absolutely.
And we hoping and we are setting it up so people will want to take the Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Trail to go downtown. Now, we have had people to come in on buses already in the process of putting it together to do tours.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been giving tours of the Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Trail for the last 2 years.
You know, and that's so important, Mr. Buckner. I'm glad you hit on that because an attraction like this will bring people to our city.
That's correct.
Which means that's tourism. Correct. That's money. That's correct. Dollars. That's taxes. That's a plus.
Exactly.
A huge plus. And, you know, and we recently had that same conversation about the African American Museum. And if we could package all of that together, because Columbus has a very rich and untold African American significance here that not only impacted the city, but impacted the state.
Exactly.
We have a story to tell.
Exactly.
That we are not telling. So I'm glad that you said that, because that's something that we need to see as a plus, as a benefit. Mr. Buckner, I remember, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, on Martin Luther King's recognized birthday, we were down there at the corner of Front Avenue and 10th Street when you unveiled the first sign.
Right.
It was a very, very amazing moment. And that's probably a moment I'll never forget. What did that moment mean to you, to actually see all the work that you had done come to fruition? There it is. Here it is right here for generations to see, you know, leaving an impact. What did that mean to you, sir?
It mean a lot. It meant a lot to me. But the only thing of it is and was that I knew I had a long ways to go.
Right.
So I really couldn't get the enjoyment of seeing that accomplished.
Yes, sir.
Because I knew I was still in a battle. Mm-hmm. But now as things are beginning to all come together, like the markers on the trail will be going up in hopefully in about a month. The path trail is on Martin Luther King Outdoor Learning Trail. And now people are beginning to hear about it in Columbus, Georgia, and to beginning, are starting to basically, you know, appreciate it. And that's the whole key to it, is doing something to your community where people will appreciate it and it will live on even after you are gone.
Wow, Mr. Buckner, you know, just listening to you talk and only imagining the obstacles you've had to avoid and sometimes go through.
Correct.
To get this done. You know, you just sound, this story illustrates one of Dr. Martin Luther King's quote, which is, you know, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, don't stop.
Exactly.
And, sir, you're not stopping.
I'm not stopping.
You're not. And I love it. You're not stopping.
Thank you.
And this is so amazing because, you know, one thing that that my grandmother first said it to me, and then I heard it many times before as an adult is, you know, if you don't know where you come from, you won't know where you're going.
That is exactly right.
And we must constantly have those reminders, and you making sure that we have that reminder here. Now, you know, in the first half of the show, we got a few minutes left before we have to take a break here. Tell us about, you know, the status of Turnaround Columbus. What you guys have going on right now?
Well, right now, what we're doing now is trying to get a organic garden on the trail itself. See, because this is a learning trail.
Right.
So that simply means that when you get on this trail, you're going to be educated about things that you don't know or never heard of before. In slavery, I noticed that the things that we was basically made to do, like take care of farms, take care of the kids for the master, clean the house, cook, a lot of those things after slavery, we basically didn't want to have anything else to do with that because we were forced to do these things and it made a negative impact in our lives. But these things that we are not being a part of nowadays are basically jobs that we know how to do.
Right.
And we should build our economics not only within our community, but in this state as a whole.
Absolutely.
In order to generate jobs and professions for our young people so that they can see something else besides of just basically standing on the streets and hanging around the corners and selling drugs.
Right.
And if we can do this, then we can turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you say, it's up to us.
Right.
Nobody else is going to come in and
save
us.
That's right.
We got to save ourselves.
That's right. You know, and I say that to a lot of kids sometimes, Mr. Buckner, when I'm speaking, I tell them, especially at like on college campuses and things of that nature, I tell them, when you graduate and walk across that stage, don't expect someone to be there shaking your hand saying, congratulations, let me take you to your job.
Exactly.
If you don't go get it, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
And I was very honored and blessed to attend that meeting a couple Saturdays ago with you at Carver High School on a Saturday morning, where you had representatives from Fort Valley and Tuskegee Institute and other individuals to come in and talk about this organic gardening. Gardening isn't what it used to be. I remember, you say you lived in Macon, Georgia for a little while. I grew up just outside of Macon, a little place called Wilkinson County. And my great uncle used to get out there every spring. We would get out there and till that garden and plant our cabbage and our collards and our corn and our tomatoes. And I would run that tiller sometimes. But that was country living.
Exactly.
You know, we learned those essential skills on how to survive and when to plant and how to make sure that your plants are taken care of, you know, and things of that nature. And those are so important skills that we could share with our young people.
Exactly.
And it's not what it used to be. If our listeners could have seen the technology that they presented forth to us using houses and things of that nature, like greenhouses, if you will, but larger scales.
Hoop houses.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. To be more effective and more efficient, it takes a lot of the work out, and it almost triples your yield.
Exactly.
From what you would have from a huge field.
Exactly. See,
it's capable in a small space.
Exactly. See, our kids are missing a lot. They don't, the average kid don't know where beans come from. They never seen them on a vine.
Yeah.
They don't know where sweet potatoes come from because they never seen them unearthed.
Yeah.
This will give our school district, see, this is not only for visitors to come to our city to see, but this is to educate our kids. And also to educate adults that have never seen or experienced things like this.
Right.
Now, with the garden itself, we are looking at making a business out of the garden for the kids to own and operate a farmer's market.
Wow.
They are at the farm.
Right.
And the tools and things like this that we'll be getting for these kids to work on and to work with is going to be just something that is going to blow their mind because they never ran a tractor.
Yes.
And things of this nature. Yes.
And I bet you if they got an tractor today, Mr. Buckner, they would be so surprised, because my Leadership Georgia class, we went down to Statesboro to some of those farms down there, and these tractors are driving themselves with GPS.
Exactly.
You got CD players, DVD players. You can literally sit there and watch a movie in the air conditioner in a seat that pretty much sits like a lazy bar recliner while you are farming and tilling the field.
That is so true.
It's not the same.
It's not the straw hat man
no more with the straw in his mouth, fanning flies.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that anymore.
Exactly. And I think that if we can get our school system, I'm talking to Dr. Lewis now about the vision, and he's working with me. But if we can get our school system on these markers that we're putting on the trail about our civil rights activists from Columbus, we're trying to work now to get a curriculum wrote for the first grade, elementary school, middle high school, and also for high school to be taught in our schools. See, because it's not only important for our kids to know where we came from, but it's important that the city know the contributions that we as a people in this city made to make Columbus the one Columbus and the great Columbus that it is.
Absolutely.
So this thing is really bigger than people can really see now. The committee of people that have been working with me and the committee of people that are coming on board now, these are the people that's going to help spread this vision.
Wow. That's awesome. When I was in school, you know, it was FFA and FHA, Future Farmers of America and Future Homemakers of America. You know, and they taught us all about that stuff, but that curriculum ain't gone a long time ago. I'm aging myself now, Mr. Buckner. I am having another wonderful conversation with my good friend and an amazing man here in the Columbus community. No matter where you go, people know his name. They know his work. They know his contribution. And it is magnificent. It is amazing. And it is impactful. And we're glad to have Mr. Runzel Buckner with us today. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave. But remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am sitting here having a great conversation with the magnificent Mr. Runzel Buckner. I tell you, this guy, he is so full of history, so rich with positive spirits and determination to make sure that our community is the best that it can be here in Columbus. You know, he'll be the first to tell you that he's taking some losses too, just like the rest of us. But, you know, he gets back up and he refused to be permanently seated for his efforts to help our community. And anybody that's brave enough to constantly get back up, even in the face of rejection, and find another way to do it is to be applauded. So, Mr. Runzel Buckner, we appreciate all that you have done for the Columbus community. And I just want to talk with you a little bit more. Just two more quick topics I want to cover with you here. And I think that's probably all the time we're going to be able to have. I'm going to have to get you back so we can have more conversations. But one, I know when I come to your restaurant, Skipper Seafood, over on Buena Vista, I see young men in there working, young men taking ownership, young men acting and holding themselves like a business owner. And that is so important because it tells me that you have done the amazing job of instilling confidence in them. That's something too often young entrepreneurs, particularly African-American entrepreneurs, lack is confidence in their ability to do their work. How did you do that?
Well, you know, I took a look at how many of our kids was dropping out of school. Mm-hmm. I looked at the prison line that our kids was going through after not getting properly educated. And so I decided to start at the elementary school level first. What I did, I put a tutoring class process, computer systems and all, in the Michael Fluellen Rec Center. This center was named after a young man that attended George Washington Carver High School that was shot on 8th Street as he went to the rec center. And so I did it because of the fact that we had lost a great young man. Now, then what I did was get tutors to go in and to start tutoring these kids. Some of the kids that you see in my restaurant have been in this process. It's not a program, it's a process. Has been in this process since they was in the third grade.
Wow.
And they have been mentored through me, and also I brought in people when they was in elementary school to give them a vision of where they could go, what they could become. Mm-hmm. Not to just see me, but to see other people in the community doing things. And then when they went into high school, I talked with the principal at George Washington Carver High School. And the kids that was not only just in the process, but kids that was failing in George Washington Carver High School, we started taking at Skipper's, training them to be a entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Training them how to own and operate their own business.
Yes, sir.
Training them how to communicate with people. Mm-hmm. Training them to take pride within themselves. Things that they hadn't did before, such as going fishing, or going out of town to visit colleges and things like that, we carried them to these different venues.
Wow. Okay.
We had clubs to come in, fishing boats, and they rode boats. All of this made them think better and think better of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids couldn't even read when they came at
wow.
Skipper's.
Wow.
But through you coming in, ordering, the system that I have, send the message back to the kitchen. And I would go into the kitchen and I would say, what is this word? If they didn't know, I would pronounce it for them. And just a repetition of doing things over and over made them start understanding what the teacher was trying to teach them in school. And then they understood how it would help them in life.
Amazing.
On down the road.
Amazing.
And now I have two students that have went to college and graduated from college. One of them is in Chicago. He is, Minnesota. He was in Chicago. He's in Minnesota. He owns his own business. He does designs, graphic design.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The other one is still here in Columbus. He went to Albany State University.
Golden Rams.
Golden Rams.
Yes, sir.
And he now is in the process of putting his business plan together. So it's a thing that is educating our kids, plus it's developing entrepreneurs so that we can strengthen our power and our voice through building the economics within our city and within our community.
That's legacy building. Tell us a little bit about Dr. Brewer. You know, especially my young listeners that may not know the history. Tell us a little bit about Dr. Brewer.
The thing that I'm proud of now is that this is Dr. Martin Luther King's birth month, was last month that we celebrated
mm-hmm.
his
yes,
birthday.
Sir.
This is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear that much about Dr. Brewer prior to within the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Brewer was assassinated here in 1956. He was assassinated because of the basically the things that he believed in that was right, and he wasn't going to take no for an answer.
Now, he was a black man.
He was a black man.
Wasn't he the first black doctor here?
He was I think so, but I'm not for sure about that. He was the black doctor that went around to the homes. They paid him with chickens and eggs
wow.
and things like that. He was a doctor that was instrumental in getting the Columbus Police Department integrated. He was instrumental in getting the black people to vote in the white Democratic primary. Now, we're talking about back in the 50s.
In the 50s.
Right, in the 50s. He was instrumental in getting the medical center, which is now Columbus Regional and Piedmont Hospital.
I saw a letter that he wrote in the Burger King right here on Macon Road. If you've never been in there, there's a lot of artifacts from the city in that location. And I saw a copy of a letter that he wrote asking for funds to help to contribute toward the legal battles of Primus King.
Yes.
And which he was the primary fundraiser for him to fight this battle so that black people could vote
right.
in the Democratic primary.
Right. See, Dr. Brewer was the leader of our city. When Dr. Brewer was assassinated here in 56, it was just like basically when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
The city just went wow. And people's running and hollering in the streets. But, you know, when I started the tribute for Dr. Brewer back in 1992, I did a 3-day tribute to him. And I contacted people that knew Dr. Brewer, and, you know, someone was telling me, well, you know, Dr. Brewer is dead, let him lie. You know, and I said, you know, this is not right, you know. So I went to Greenacre Cemetery and talked to Mr. Less. And Mr. Less said, Mr. Buckner, you know, you the first person that ever came to see where Dr. Brewer is buried.
Wow.
And, see, Primus King was Dr. Brewer's barber. And Primus King was not the one that's supposed to cast that first vote.
Uh-huh.
But the one that's supposed to have cast the first vote was really scared off by the Ku Klux Klans. And when the Ku Klux Klans threatened him, he didn't come to cast that vote. So Dr. Brewer told Primus, because all of them was a group of African-American men working together to move our city forward, Dr. Brewer told Primus that, Primus, I want you to go cast this first vote. And that's how Primus King managed to get into that slot.
Mm-hmm.
See, Dr. Brewer did things in the background. He didn't come out front to do things. He was the one that carried the suit on the city to give blacks the right to vote to New Orleans. Now, Maynard Jackson's father was involved in all of this. Out of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
he was involved in all of this. So Dr. Brewer was assassinated in 1956. In 1992, I had a, with the help of the community, where people that knew Dr. Brewer made donations, and we put a 8-foot granite monument on Dr. Brewer's grave. If you go out Chautauqua Road, look up to the left. If you're going from Buena Vista Road, and you'll see a pyramid, black granite pyramid, stop in and just visit Dr. Brewer and read what's on that pyramid.
Wow.
And you can understand some of the things that Dr. Brewer did.
Now it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, from speaking with Congressman Bishop and some of our other leaders here in the community, that Dr. Brewer was assassinated by the guy that he rented his doctor's office from.
That's correct.
Which was a white guy.
That's correct.
And they both had witnessed the Columbus Police Department brutally beat a black man in the street.
Right.
And Dr. Brewer was vocal about it, and the other white gentleman did not want to speak on it or confirm the incident.
Correct.
And so because of the pressure, this man took Dr. Brewer's life.
Exactly.
Was this man ever prosecuted?
Nobody was ever prosecuted for the assassination of Dr. Brewer.
Wow.
The way it went down was they carried the guy that supposedly did the assassination. See, when Dr. Brewer was assassinated here, it was two police officers in this clothing store that this white gentleman owned. And it was also a police officer on the outside in a car from reading all of the history of it. The two police officers, when Dr. Brewer got ready to go home that night, they knew that Dr. Brewer had ordered these shirts because everybody had been talking to Mr. Flowers, it was his name. So the police officer was there and the store was closed and they let Dr. Brewer in. And then the police officers say that Dr. Brewer and Flowers went to the back of the store. And then there was some gunshots. And then when they went to Flowers' office, Dr. Brewer was laying in the corner, and he had a gun in his hand, they say. And what wound up happening, Flowers was put in the hospital from the story in Phoenix City. And then after that, he got out of the hospital from Phoenix City, and he came back to Columbus because he was supposed to have been in so much shock.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first Barcott that I have ever seen work in Columbus, Georgia. The only one that I ever seen work. Because Flowers was set up in the black community district area, which was First Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So all of Flowers' customers were black people. Because that's where Dr. Brewer told him to set up at.
That wasn't far from Ken Folk's Corner?
No, it was the street. You got First Avenue, then you have Broadway, and then you have Ken Folk's Corner.
Okay, which is on Front Avenue.
Right.
Okay.
All of that area, excepting a Broadway, black people used to congregate on First Avenue and also on Ken Folk's Corner.
Okay.
And the reason it's named Ken Folk's Corner, because that's where people from all over the county, out of Alabama and Georgia, used to come on weekends to get together just to meet their relatives, bringing crops in and things like that to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what wound up happening is that after Flowers got out of the hospital and the Barcott was taking a toll on his business, and he knew he was going to have to close because African American just wasn't buying from him anymore. Mm-hmm. So Flowers got ready to talk and tell what really happened in his store. They found Flowers. There was a theater on First Avenue named Dixie Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they found Flowers one morning laying in the lobby entrance of the Dixie Theater, shot in the head and with a handkerchief stuck in his mouth. And they said Flowers committed suicide. And then that was the end of the story.
Wow. Amazing. I told you guys that Mr. Buckner, he's a walking history book. when that day comes that God wants you to be home with him, how do you want Columbus to remember you?
I would like for Columbus to remember that I tried to make a difference, not for me, but for the young people that's got to step up and take leadership of our people. And remember, I did my best with what I had. I don't want to be, praised. I don't want to. As a matter of fact, I told my wife, when it's time for me to go and I leave this earth, just take me to the cemetery and bury me and let me go. And I don't want to be buried in cemeteries that you see advertised and things like that. There's a cemetery on North Star Drive.
Mm-hmm.
North Star Drive was once called Dawson Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And older people know about Dawson Drive. And that cemetery belongs to St. James CMN Church. I've lived on Dawson Drive all of my life. And it's a church, a little small church cemetery. And I told my wife, that's where I want to go. I've been on Dawson Drive and in that community all my life. Don't take me from my community.
Yes, sir.
Leave me where I was born at and raised at on Dawson Drive.
Well, as far as being a difference maker, Mr. Buckner, you've already reached that mark, sir. Reached that mark, and it will be extremely easy for history to record you and for your legacy to be that you are a history maker. We love you for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Mr. Buckner, thank you again. This has been an amazing show. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Hope you enjoyed this conversation of local black history with Mr. Ronzell Buckner. We're going to have him back so that we can continue this conversation. And we will talk with you again on February the 17th, which will be our third show of the month. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Take it.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.